Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you to our education talk show on Radio NEMA International. At this show, we find solutions. We make recommendations to the Liberian education system. This is your humble host, Emmanuel Lekie. To our listeners out there around the world, you can participate in this show by calling 323-642-1503. You can also text your questions to 347-286-1716. You also have an opportunity. If you're on Facebook, you can send us your questions to Rachel Neba International. We want to welcome every one of you. And tonight we're going to be talking about the Liberian education system, as we usually do. We want to know whether the Liberian education system accommodates students with special needs. Does the system accommodate? What modification do they have for our students who have disability? Now, during the talk show, we're now going to change from using the word disability to diversity. So wherever you are, we want you to stay tuned because this show is very significant. When we come back, we're going to introduce our guests. At this time, let's take a break.
Five, four, three, two, one, zero. Let's start the party.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you, and for those of you who are still listening to us, you see, tonight we want to talk about neurodiversity in our classroom as Liberia moves towards curriculum reform, as we are working to see how we can improve our education system. We also want to be discussing inclusive education. Well, we have students with disabilities, students with diversity. Now we're changing disability now to diversity. So how can we accommodate these students in our curriculum reform? We're also going to be looking at what sort of system do we have. If the Liberian education has a system in place, then we want to know whether it's effective. And does this system accommodate students with special needs? And in order to discuss this topic, we were able to invite one of our own Liberian brother. He's going to introduce himself better. He's no one else but Dr. Batu Kola. You are most welcome. Will you just introduce yourself to the audience?
Hi, my name is Dr. Batu Kola. I'm a Liberian, the son of Bishop Arthur F. Kola, retired bishop of the United Methodist Church. I'm a physician, family medicine trained. I live in the Atlanta, Georgia area. I am an advocate, very involved in the social, economic, and political life of our nation, and advocating for better health care for our people. That's my life and me in a nutshell.
Thank you so much, Dan. We are excited that you were able to honor our invitation, and tonight we brought you on because we are talking about accommodation, whether the Liberian education system is thinking about accommodating students with special needs. So we want to just ask you, do you think the Liberian education system considers students with special needs? I want to begin from that.
No, I don't think the Liberian education system considers students with special needs. I don't think we as a people have really done our homework in studying the different learning styles of individuals, the different disabilities or shortcomings that people could have in learning or needs that have to be accommodated in the classroom. This country has done well by it. They've studied the European model and the model set by the United Nations. But apart from us having a school for the blind or a school for the deaf, I don't think we've gone beyond that to really accommodate students with dyslexia and various learning disabilities and various disabilities, physical or otherwise.
Well, you strike some significant points right in between there, and we're going to come over. You see, as we observe the Liberian education system, we are actually moving towards education curriculum reform. And one of the things that we need to start talking about is how we can accommodate our students with special needs, those students that have challenging behavior. And I don't know whether we really have these kids for now. What are the plans that the Liberian Education Ministry have for these children? And I just wanted to ask you, you being from a medical background, and one of the things that I really thought of is that you don't have to have a degree in education to be able to identify the predicament within that era, you know, of studies. So that's why we invited you. So do you think that we can really create a strategy to accommodate students with special needs?
Well, I think what we need to first of all do is get our psychologists, behavioral scientists, our educational psychologists together, those in the diaspora that have studied that, those in Liberia that have had some training in that, to come together and study what the issues are with our students in Liberia. I don't think that's been done. you know, as far as I see, it's very limited in those two things that I outlined, the fact that they have a school for the blind and a school for the deaf. But apart from that, I have not heard or read anywhere where Liberia has a policy that caters to special needs students, whether it be it attention deficit disorder students, whether it be it dyslexics or any special needs per se other than the two that I've outlined. I have not heard that or read that anywhere.
Okay, so we have established that indeed the Liberian education system doesn't accommodate students with special needs. Now, what we want to do now is to actually divert into the solution part of this question, that is, students with special needs, how can we accommodate them? What are the strategies for us to use? Now, we are moving towards curriculum reform. What could be some of the suggestions you think you could maybe say what you just stated? What could be some other things that you think we can bring on the table besides psychologists and all the what you just said?
To be honest with you, my background and my specialty is medicine. My wife has a PhD in education, so she will be more versed in giving suggestions or solutions on how to go about, you know, catering to students with special needs. The only recipe that I can give is to say, bring all of our educated people, people with a background in education and education psychology, study the issues in Liberia and see how best we can cater to those kids in our school system that need some sort of accommodation. And like I said, we will have to find a way. We have to study the issue and then come up with the solutions to that issue. It would be nice if we had some sort of study that had been done where we could even research it and review it, but I wasn't able to locate any. So I think that's the first place to start.
Yeah, thank you so much for making that point. You see, there's one thing that I think we need to look into is discovering the strength of our students with special needs. You see, I believe in inclusive education where we can have numerous students with children with special needs within the same class, and we can try to find strategies where we can accommodate them. You see, looking at different levels of their understanding and comprehension. So, you see, when I was in school in Africa, I don't know about you, but I know you went through the same, I was doing like 12 to 14 subjects. And I felt that it wasn't, you know, relevant. But when I came to the United States, I was directed to specific things to study. And I feel that, yeah, okay, it's not bad to study 12 or 14 subjects, but I think it's time that we can shift our paradigm to something that can really benefit us, I mean benefit the students, and also be able to include those students who have a diversity. So how do you think we can discover the strength of students with disability? What could be some suggestions?
That,
I know it's not
that,
your era, but what could be some suggestions?
That, again, my only suggestion would be to put it in the hands of our educators. Our educators have to be able to pinpoint students in their class and know what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are and know what the different learning styles of our students are and cater to that. But we have an educational system that at its roots and at its foundations is still more or less ancient. You know, a lot of our education in Africa is based on rote memorization. It's not based on critical thinking or analysis or analytical thinking. You know, it's based on regurgitating what the teacher gives you. So how do you find out what kids are gifted, what kids have learning disabilities, what kids should not be on a certain particular track. How do you find that out? I don't think our educational system has lent itself to that yet. We're still at a stage where we're still struggling to find our way, and I think the educators need to do something about that. And right now, I think you all need to engage the current Minister of Education about doing such, you know, coming up with a plan, coming up with a new curriculum, coming up with ways of finding out what the issues are. You know, the biggest mistake we could make is try to go to Liberia and transplant what the Americans are doing here. You know, the Americans have studied their system. They've studied their students, so they know what they're doing. They know that now they can put in other students along with disabled students with special needs. But we can't do that in Liberia. We don't have the capability. We don't have the trained teachers. We're not there yet.
And
we have a lot to
do. That is why, Dr. Kula, that I said that a curricular reform should go in line with our culture. We should create a curriculum that is culturally appropriate. You see, you can, like you said, you cannot have a professor, instructor from America here to go to Liberia to create a curriculum. You know, you're making a mistake because he doesn't know the culture of Liberia. So it's going to be good that we have Liberians to do this thing. Okay, now I'm in Florida. I'm an instructor, have my license. But yet now, the good thing about it is that I have been to Africa, lived in Africa, went to school there. And if you ask me to create a curriculum or work on a curriculum that is in Liberia, the very first thing I'm going to do is to sit down and consider the students that are there, identify the ones that have gifts, the ones that have special needs, because there are different needs that they have. And then we create a curriculum that is culturally appropriate. And this is a mistake that we continue to do, that we feel that the international community should come into Liberia and do all these things for us. We have different projects in Liberia that are helping us to train our teachers. We receive funding for these projects, but yet and still we cannot measure our returns on those funds that are given. So the problem here is that we're not being sincere to ourselves. And the next thing, within the next 10 years, we're going to have another problem. Because we're creating an education system, we're having a dialogue, and we're not even thinking about the future. There are children in Liberia with special needs, and we need to accommodate them. So I'm so excited that we're having a discussion. And some of the ways we do this thing is to discover their strength. What is the strength of these kids? You know, what are they doing in class? How can we motivate them? How can we bring these kids? You know, there are some kids with special needs that really perform up to expectations. But I think we need to start having the discussion on Dr. Kula. And it's good that we were able to have you here, especially from the medical background, to be able to explicate your own perceptions when it comes to accommodating students with special needs. But then, how can we develop strength-based learning strategies for students with needs? We want to strengthen them. We want to create strategies for them and identify the needs. What would be some of the suggestions?
Again, you know, that's with our educators. Our educators have to come up with a strategy. Our educators, especially in our teachers training institutions, you know, their methods of training our teachers have to be different. You know, they have to study the society that we're in, where we've come from, where we're going, you know, and come up with strategies that will be beneficial to the students. So again, if those studies have not been done, if we've not done the groundwork, the research, you know, then it's hard to say what's going to work for our people. It all begins with research.
So will you agree with me that we're making a serious mistake by not considering inclusion in our education system as we're moving forward?
What do you mean by not considering inclusion?
Now, I'm saying since we are creating an education, so we are at the verge of creating an education system, and then this system is not going to be inclusive, that is considering students with special needs. Don't you think we're making an error?
I mean, if that's the case, we're making an error because we're leaving people behind. You know,
mm-hmm.
if we're dropping a whole bunch of kids and these kids are not being accommodated, if these kids are not being taught and they're dropping out of schools and they're not getting to where they need to get to be productive citizens, then we're making a big mistake. But how do we even know what we're missing or what we have or what we don't have when there's no research? There's nothing. There's nothing.
Right.
We don't have the information. You know, Liberia and everything, you know, other than education, we don't have the information. We don't even track our citizens. We've got kids on the street selling food and other things and not in school. So we're missing a whole bunch of things, and we don't have the research to even begin to say, you know, what's going to be the effect in the future? How many kids are dropping out of school? How many kids are not making it to high school or what have you? There's a lot that we need to do, and I don't think we've done enough, you know. So it's hard to say, but if we're leaving people behind, it's going to affect us in the long run.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kula, for, you know, sitting there. Indeed, it's going to be an error for us as Liberians if we continue to pay less attention to our students. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the participation of educators, professional Liberians abroad, whether they are being involved into the process, and the responsibility of the education ministry with data citizens. Let us now take a break. Stay tuned, listeners. Listeners out there in the world, you can participate in this show by calling 323-642-1503. You can also text us your questions to 347 286 1716. If you have a Facebook account, you can send us your questions or your comments to Radio Neva International. We always try at this show to try to really speak a typical Liberian English so that you can be able to get us. And we will always try to speak slowly because this is all about Liberia. Now, back to our studio guest, Dr. Kula. Now, why is it that we're not having Liberian education professionals in Liberia to assist? Liberia is drowning. We do not have an education system. Our students in the next 10 years will not be critical thinkers. We're going to have bad governance on the decisions that they're going to make. So we need Liberian educators to intervene. Why are they not, you know, called upon by the education ministry to help?
That I can't answer. It's like with everything in Liberia. Why do they not call on the people in the diaspora to come and help? Because everybody feels that somebody's going to come and take their job. So there's that fear and there's that, you know, apprehension. And so people are not willing. For example, my wife has a PhD in education, like I told you, in curriculum and development, early childhood education. I've offered
That's
her services and made the connection between her and the Minister of Education. And I told, and we told him she's not looking for a job, but she's willing to come and train teachers, you know, on the most recent developments in teacher education. You know, that's what she does. She teaches at one of the universities here in Georgia, Gwinnett College, which is part of Georgia State University. You know, and she's head of the education department, but they've never took us up on offer. You know, so I can't really understand that. That's a question for the authorities in Liberia. Why do they not reach out to Liberians in the diaspora?
You see, what is surprising, the education ministry is presently conducting a roundtable discussion and calling on Liberians within Liberia. The local Liberians, sorry for me saying local Liberian, but I mean Liberians who live in Liberia, that they should come in so that we can discuss about education. And it's not a bad precedent, but the question here is that what are we going to achieve? You know, why don't we involve every Liberian into the process? Because it's going to affect our children. It's affecting us. Right now in Liberia, I'm telling you, in fact, it's not from me, it's from them. They say even their high school graduate cannot even be compared to a fourth grader in America. And which, of course, it's not impressive. So we need the education minister, you should follow our show, and he listened to us. We made recommendations. We want him to involve every Liberian. There are Liberian professionals here who will, like your wife, like you say, I'm looking forward to inviting her one of these days on our talk show. So she can come and explain some of these policies to our Liberian people, because this is how we can find solution. We need to discuss this thing. We need to find solution. We cannot keep playing blind eyes. Education is becoming a predicament for us. The way we behave, the way we act, the way we react to things because of our orientation. We need to change that. And I agree with you that this question has to be answered by the education authorities. But I look at the responsibilities of citizens, bringing them in. Do you think the citizens in Liberia are responding positively when it comes to the entire process of education reform?
Do I think the citizens are responding positively? I don't think I understand your question.
Do you think the citizens are welcoming the idea? Are they responding to the process?
I've not read up on anything as far as what the citizens' position is on it one way or another. I mean, you would have to update me on that. I've not heard anything as far as them not responding to it or not being happy with educational reform. I you know, excuse my ignorance on that, but I wouldn't think that the citizens would be adverse to having reforms in education. What I've heard is that the teachers have been the ones that have been upset at the changes that are being made with the educational system and with bringing in this company, you know, from the United States that is supposed to be coming to do some training and other things. As far as the citizens, I haven't heard anything negative of the citizens.
Okay. I have a guest on. I think he has a question. We're going to pull him through. And I think I'm trying to get in contact with the operator to see how we can get that person in. And once we get the green light, we're going to allow that individual. But you see, if I could ask you to grade the education ministry at a rate of 1 to 10, what would you give them?
To be honest with you, I can't give them a grade. I don't know enough to give them a grade. This gentleman, Warner, just came in. He's been trying to do a lot. He's been going around, resourcing funds and trying to get Bridge, I think is the name of the company, to come in to do a pilot project. And there's not enough information to grade them. If you ask me to grade education in Liberia, I can grade education and say we're failing in terms of education, in terms of educating our kids, primary, secondary education.
Who's responsible? Are we going to say it's a citizen or is the education ministry? Because somebody has to be responsible for the middle of it.
The education ministry is responsible. But what I'm saying is, as far as saying this particular person or this particular educational minister is responsible for the failing system, I cannot give him a grade. He just came in. He's been doing various reforms and whatnot. As far as our educational system and those prior to him, I can say they have not done a good job, or else we would be further than where we are. So far, he seems to be hitting the ground running and looking for solutions.
So now, before I can bring in our caller, the last question I want to ask you, is the education ministry open? The education minister is opening his arms so that he can be able to work with other educators? Don't you think that this is responsible for the failure?
I don't know whether he's open or not. I only gave one example of me reaching out to him. Okay?
Right.
And using my wife as an example. They still have to take us up on that offer. Now, in terms of other people, because the Liberian diaspora is huge. You know, and ideas and different, you know, indications as far as what they're trying to do. People have different ideas. You know, he's been hitting the ground running and doing what he needs to do or what he thinks is in the best interest of the country. And so they're starting this pilot program. So I can't say that his arms are not open. I don't know. I can only speak for.
Do you support the pilot project?
I can only speak for me.
Do you support the pilot project?
Do I support the pilot project? I support it in as much as it's not our money. It's not Liberian government money. From what he explained, it's private individuals who invited him to a conference in London, I believe it was, and these private individuals came together because of their connection to the president wanting to help her out with education. They raised funds among themselves and said, we're not going to give these funds to the government of Liberia. We're not going to give it to the Ministry of Education. Instead, there's been a program that's been working in Uganda and Kenya and other places. We want to give the money directly to the individuals that have been working on those programs to try a pilot project in Liberia. Now, as far as I'm concerned, once it's not Liberian government money that they're taking in private institution, I have no problem with it. it's a means that these people can come in, study our system, work with our people, and try to bring some semblance to our educational system, I personally don't have a problem with it.
So why do you think that the education ministry have not contacted your wife? She has a PhD in education. Do you know any reason why?
I have no idea. I cannot answer that.
Okay. Now we're going to hold you right there. We're going to bring in our first caller with the last digit number of 1018. Mr. Musa Willie, you are live. Mr. Willie, are you there? Oh, well, we're going to get back to our operator. Mr. Musa, are you there? Okay, we lost him, and as soon as he get back, or we're going to bring him. Now, Dr. Kula, here's another question. You see, this show is becoming very interesting. We have a lot of people that come in, and a lot of questions that come in. I'm trying to sort it out. But it's interesting that we discuss these things because it's really affecting us, and as Liberians, we have to find an applicable solution. Now, how could schools in Liberia determine the strength of students with special needs? Because
I can't answer that.
We don't have an education
because...
system. Right now, all schools are operating individually. We don't have a system in place. Right now, we're just doing whatever we can and what we can, you know, whatever we could do to sustain ourselves. So what do you think, you know, those schools are in Liberia could do? But anyway, we're going to hold you right there, and let's bring in Musa. Mr. Willie, you are welcome. Are you live? Are you on now?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. How you doing? I've been listening to the show, and I want to say thank you to Dr. Kula for his perspective he just gave regarding the education system. You know, we are actually talking about the education system at the 11th hour of this government. You and I did not have the opportunity as stakeholders to discuss our education system, to engage the actors, the key actors. 9 years ago, I think the system was ran like a secret society. And that is why I always try to give George... This is why I always try to give George some credit for being more transparent in terms of stakeholder engagement. You and I did not have the opportunity to talk about the education system to know what was going on. Like, take for example, when I spoke to people from the Ministry of Education, a lot of them did not even know that the government of Liberia developed a paper in 2009, almost 200 pages document called the Education Sector Plan. That document was developed, and the president signed the final page of that document. And that is the document that's supposed to take us from 2009 to 2020. For God's sake, you and I did not even know that that document was in circulation till a friend of mine from Ethiopia who participated in developing that document sent it to me. So I'm very happy now that we are discussing the education system and we are aware of the challenges that they are going through. But I can just say that George inherited a lot of problem that was caused by his predecessors. Like when he took over, we saw him going from one place to another, trying to mobilize. And some of the challenges that he met there was trust, the issue of trust. The international community did not have trust no more because they have invested millions of dollars in the system, and the system will stay at the same stage. But he, too, had his own problem when he came in. When a system is stagnated for a long period of time, to change it, it got to be gradual. And the idea of political appreciation that it is this government that did it, I think they're where they got stopped because they wanted to do everything at the same time to gain the appreciation that this was done by the government. But what I think they failed to understand was their predecessor has already created a serious problem for them. And this is where we are today. But the only way I think we can move from where we are today, if we create the mindset of Liberia, than to create a mindset of political party or this government. If we continue to think that this system is about this government, we are going to dream very big, and there's going to be fatigue in the implementation. And at the end of the day, the next government will inherit serious challenges like what happened 9 years ago. So I just want to say, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Willie, we are glad you were able to come on and you are raising some significant points. And Dr. Coulard is also listening as well. Now, you talk about challenges, and you see, it's good that we identify the inconsistencies within the Liberian education system. From the time President Saleh, the Unity Party government came to power, they have changed education ministers two or three times, you can correct me. So it shows some level of inconsistency. And I'm interested in the achievement of these ministers. So if I could say, looking at what the education minister has achieved over his time compared, to what he's doing, that's my level of interest. Let's compare what he has done, what he intends to do, and what he will do. My question to you. You said the education minister inherits many problems. His approach or his approaches to this problem are his problem. The way he tried to engage his situation created a problem for him. Now, so if I could ask you to rate the education minister, honestly, what would you rate it out from 1 to 10?
Oh, between 1 to 10, I would give him 6. And I can tell you why. And I can tell you why. When Josh took over the ministry, the issue of accountability was one of the major issues in the building. He introduced a review system that was able to analyze the payroll to come up with ghost names. And I think last week we got a total of 2,500 ghost names that was on the payroll. His administration also instituted what we call the electronic clocking system, which is not working in some of the villages, in the electronic biometric ID card system, which is very important in tracking the activities and attendance of our teachers. That's
when
why every day
stop?
We come. When he took over, he introduced the biometric system. That was one of the accountability strategies. You see, most of the time we only focus on the results. But what brings the result is very important. One of the challenges we face in Liberia is the issue of accountability. And the teachers were teaching, some of them were not getting paid on time, and some people were not even teaching, but they were getting pay every month, and why some administrators are collecting huge amount of money. And that is also creating burden for the ministry, serious financial burden for the ministry. The next thing he did was to go out there and re-establish the image of the ministry. That is by the number of trips that he made, the connections that he made for the education sector. Thirdly, he was able to expose, to be sincere, because the issue of government is that people don't want to say what are their deficiencies. They don't want to say it so that the public would be like, oh, we can add that to our political capital against them. A lot of people don't like to speak these things out. But George was very open. I don't know about the other legal documentation, like people asking him to release the contracts and other stuff. Those are something different that we can talk about. But when it came to telling the Liberian people how many children in schools, how deplorable our school system was the status of the country, he put that out there. He did not hide it from us.
And you and I read them on Facebook. It's based on those things that you're rating him at a rate of 6, right?
Yeah, so that is one. Number two, we saw the school calendar year was changed, and that is where some of the errors he feel at, because the changing of the school calendar, we know that we just came from Ebola and there were serious challenges when it comes to parents and the school system. So changing the calendar, after the change of calendar, there was some policy issue that they did not uphold. And these policy issues today, we noticed that there's no one monitoring and supervising it. We heard schools were told not to take wire, and later on those schools took wire. Schools were told not to graduate until their wire result is released, but there are schools in Liberia that violated that regulation. So I just think...
Let me just come in. I'm sorry I had to bring you a little bit into education policy and strategy. So based on what you just listed, would you conclude that those things are procedures, education procedures and policies?
Yeah, I mean, definitely you cannot achieve anything without following the procedures and policy, because with all the procedures and policies, you're going to fail.
Okay, so Mr. Willis said, the education minister, he has those policies, and he did some great things, and he deserves some praises. And which, of course, our audience are following. There will be questions that will come in. People going to call. But let's bring in our student guest once more. If you are you Musa, are you done?
Yeah, I didn't talk about where he falls short. So let me just list them. Number one.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I think I touched on the area. He was very anxious. I think the government wanted to make a name. So when they realized that it wasn't no more about technical change, it was about political change. That's how I see it. So when something switched from technical change to political change, the methodology of implementation becomes very fast. And when anything is done hastily, you got to go back. You always notice that things will fail. So this is where I think that
So comparing his accomplishment with that of his challenges, will you say that he has a higher rate?
I will rate him higher than his challenges. I will rate him his ability to withstand those challenges. I will rate him higher than, because you're talking about coming after 3 doctor's degree holders who ran a ministry and the government. They ran the ministry from 2005 to 2013. Then the president publicly admitted that the system is a mess.
I don't mean to cut you off, though, but, you know.
Yeah, go ahead. Go to Dr. Kula.
Before we can go to Dr. Kula, you know, listening to what you mean here, you know, and you're referring to them as policies and strategies. You know, there are others that are listening to us. You know, we are not against the minister. Like I always tell him, I'm not against him. I want him to succeed because he's a young man. Sometimes differ with him when it comes to decisions that he makes. But I don't hate him. You know, I'm going to Liberia. When I get there, you know, I'm hoping to have meetings with him and see how I can talk to him.
Yeah,
it's important for us to inform the public exactly where we are lacking. You know, if you tell me that this education minister has done pretty well, you know, I think it's deceiving to me.
Yeah, but the word is overemphasized. You asked me to give my overall observation of the minister, I think 1 year or 1.5 years in office. And I was giving, and besides talking, being realistic, I'm one of those that have been very realistic with the minister. When he took over, one of those that were optimistic that he was going to make a difference. Even up to today, I still believe.
For what you just explicated, Musa, I didn't see any success. I don't know, maybe my level of accomplishment definitely.
Yeah, I'm coming. So what I'm saying, let me just learn. So I was one of those who openly I was one of the openly who were very optimistic about his ability to deliver. And up to today, I'm still optimistic that he could deliver. But once he follows the strategy of political achievement, he's not going to deliver. Number two, I've also criticized the minister publicly. I am one of those that do not support the British Academy model program in Liberia. I went public for that. I'm on record that I don't support it. I have my own reservation. And I think we have in a dialogue and we have the opportunity to make these clarifications. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Musa. You can stay on the line. We're going to bring you in later. We want to go back to our speaker guest, Dr. Kula. Dr. Kula, do you agree with what Musa just stated? Dr. Kula, are you there? Hello? Well, okay. I think we lost Dr. Kula. We're going to try to get him. At this time, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll begin from where we stopped. Well, we are so excited to be back, and to our listeners, we want to open the line And if you have questions, if you have comments, we want you to send us your questions. Musa, are you still there? Mr. Musa Willie, are you still there?
Yes.
All right. So, Musa, we just want you to, you know, as we are with Dr. Kula, we got limited time remaining. We're supposed to be getting his closing comments. We just want to begin from where we start with you, you know, when it comes to the inconsistencies within the education system. And we were discussing how can we accommodate special needs students within our education system as we're moving towards curriculum reform. So what is your own perception? Do you think we can have an inclusive education system?
I mean, most especially for the primary level, it's a human right issue. Disability should not stop anyone from getting the education they need to succeed in life. And it is the responsibility of the government to provide the enabling environment regardless of the student physical status. Hello?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
Yeah, regardless of the student's physical status, it is the responsibility of the government to provide the accessible and secure environment to accommodate everyone. Even though special need education comes with huge financial burden, but I think as a country we can limit our special need program. Like somebody spoke earlier, we can develop it to fit in our system in terms of budgetary, in terms of strategy, in terms of technical skills. We can develop it to our level. But it is unfortunate, it is very disheartening to realize that students with special needs in Liberia, some have kept at home. Their parents cannot afford to provide special teachers for them. Some of them are made to go on the farm, and it's just terrible that we, at this age of time, we stay excluding a certain group of people because of their condition that they did not ask God to give them.
Mm-hmm.
They were created like that. They did not tell God, I want to be visually impaired. I want to be physically disabled. They did not ask for it. It is what God gave them, and some of them became like that through accident and other stuff. So I just think we need to create a holistic system. We can't leave one group of people. That's a human right issue.
It is a human right issue, and it's very important that we pay serious attention to that. You know, Musa, it's very important that we remind our education authority to be able to understand that we have to pay attention to, you know, our students with special needs. Now, at this time, we want to find, is Dr. Kula online? Dr. Kula,
yes.
You back on?
I'm here.
Yeah, at this time, we just want to give you 1 minute. We are out of time. Just give us your closing comment. We are sorry you weren't able to comment on Mr. Willie's statement. We're going to find a time to bring you back. You know, this show is on every Monday. But just give us your closing statement. What suggestions do you have for the Liberian education system before we close?
My suggestion is simply that those in authority in education need to reach out to those in the diaspora that have the requisite skills in special education, in, you know, educational psychology and curriculum and development, so that they can bring to bear all of the resources, the human resources, in order to develop our educational system so that what they're saying now, it can be taken from mess to best. And it can't be taken from mess to best if you exclude people or if you only have people who are singing the same song in the room, but you have to have a diverse array of voices coming together to come up with the best educational system that we can have. So hopefully that will happen in the near future. So thanks for having me.
Oh, we thank you, Dr. Kula, for honoring our invitation. I know you have to take some spare time out of your busy time to be able to be here tonight. And we are glad to have you. Also glad to have Mr. Musa Willie, who was able to contribute. And to our listening audience out there who were able to follow us through the show, we want you to come back on next Monday and tune in. And then we're going to be having another interesting topic. But at this time, I want to say good night. May God richly bless you.
Mommy, let me walk it. Let me see Kenya. Mommy, let me.